listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
But we are in Romans chapter 8. We're talking about victory, and I want to deal with victory over depression this morning. Victory over depression. Yeah, listen, this is a subject nobody wants to talk about, and they kind of get weird on me when I talk about anything about depression, because they immediately go to that everything about depression is a devil. Well, I'm just going to say this to you. If you got hypertension and you're taking blood pressure medicine, is that a devil or hypertension? You got to figure it out. It's hypertension. Of course it's here because of the devil. I get that, because he fell and he left us a fallen world to live in. And I'm going to say something else. If you don't get sick, then you don't need the great physician. So God's a step ahead of us, knowing that we were going to face these kind of critical issues, and therefore he is the healer. Amen? And it doesn't take away from the fact that do I sometimes need some medication? How many ever takes anything for a headache? Oh, listen, I had about an 8-hour cracking headache yesterday. I mean, until nighttime. Just horrible. Call people to pray. Just help me out here. And it did subside, thank God. And I took some stuff for it, and the stuff I took didn't work. And so we're praying, God, make that stuff I took work. Just help me out here. When we deal with the mind, I want you to just write down a few thoughts if you can keep them. When God created you, he created you in his likeness. And in his image, he created man. When he created you, he did for you what Jesus said he did. Jesus said, God gave me something when I came. He gave me a body. Say, I have a body. Yeah, you're a spiritual being living in a body, and you have a soul. Your soul and your spirit, according to Hebrews 4:12, are knit together, and they're only divisible by the Word of God. The only way I can separate my soul and my spirit. That's why when people say, God said, I'm thinking, maybe he did, maybe he didn't. Pastor Charlie is up here this morning and says, the Lord said. And the Bible says, when someone says, the Lord said, and starts giving a prophetic word of what God is saying spiritually to Charlie about the rest of us, the Bible said, and those of you all that judge need to judge that, and I'm going to help you right now, by the very fact that anyone ever speaks in tongues and gives an interpretation to it or gives a prophetic word indicates there are judges. Just saying. So you need to understand, if you ever get that feeling that God said, there's always going to be a judge there to make sure that's what he said. But here's what I'm saying. The Bible has given us, according to Scripture, given us the idea of a trichotomy or a tripart being. You are a body that has a soul and a spirit that are knit together and divisible by the Word of God. So when you're given a prophetic word, that is coming from your spirit, passing through your soul. Your soul has to identify with it because it has to agree. Your soul has got to submit to your spirit to speak it out. Amen? So you have a soul. I'm going to tell you something else. If you're married and you got babies in your house, that means that you have a soul. No, I got babies because I got a body. Just to help y'all out, sex organ is between your ears, y'all. Excuse me just a minute. See, right now, y'all all thinking in another direction, but I'm just telling you right now, according to the kingdom of God, it's operating right here. Okay, see, you don't believe me, but your emotions are up here. So is your passion. So is your will. It's not your spirit. Your spirit's already with God. It's this other part of you that we deal with, and that's where your passion is. That's how you have children, is because it was between your ears. Okay, I'll go a step further. The men said to Jesus, trying to catch him in a trap, they said, what's going to happen about committing adultery? What do you see about committing adultery? And what are you going to do with that? And Jesus said this. He said, yes, I understand committing adultery is a physical act, but he said, I say that when you look on a woman to lust, bear me up here, when you look on a woman to lust, you've committed the act. Y'all still tracking me? I'm trying to help you right now because we get up in church and try to act like, well, you know, because I'm so spiritual, that means I always think right. You don't always think right. We always think something stupid from time to time. It's in us to do. I read my Bible about stuff God said don't do. One of the stupidest things that I read in the Bible, in my opinion, is don't have sex with an animal. And I'm thinking, dear God, why in the world would God put something like that in the Bible? Because there is stupid in the world. Amen? Just helping you out right here. So you've got a body that is owned by a spirit and a soul. Your soul is what has emotion. That's why when I had Matt and Brooke up here to show you the form, the reason I did, it wasn't for your spirit. Your spirit was running all over the room. Now, if my spirit... No, let me help you out. Your spirit wants to worship God. Your spirit wants to lift those hands. Your spirit wants to pray. Your spirit... Because the Bible says the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So don't be telling me that you're created like God and don't want to praise Him. You're created like God and don't want to lift your hands. No, I'm going to tell you who don't want to lift your hands is you, the id, you, the psyche, you, the soulish part, is governing the spirit, and you need to back up and let the spirit begin to guide you a little bit. It might help you in your decision making. You might marry the right person. You might get in the right business. Come on now. I'm just saying, you got to understand where you're living. So you've got this soulish part of you, your mind, your will, and your emotions. And I don't know about the rest of y'all, but you try to act like before us that you don't have any emotion, but we've heard you. We've heard you when you got mad. We heard you when a baby was born. We heard you when they died. And then get up in church and tell me, well, you know, Spirit's not moving on me. No, you're just who you are because that's where you want to be. And you need to start breaking that down a little bit and start saying to your soul, you're not going to direct my life. I'm a spirit being. And the Bible says I need to lift my hand, bless God's hand. You going up today, whether I feel like it or not. It's not about feel. It's about the Word. It's about the Spirit. Still tracking me, y'all? Okay, then let me give you another thought about this. If you have this mind, will, and emotion person, this individual, you will get depressed from time to time. And I will just help you in advance. We will read the Word. I am going there to Romans 8, 35, 37. We will be going to 1 Kings 18 and 19 in just a minute. We're going to run over there and talk about Elijah just a little bit. But let me just throw you some thoughts out here. You will have times that you are depressed. Some people get depressed over stuff. Now, my wife and I are moving. Moving is a monumental task. Some of us can see moving by the box, and others see it by the mountain. Some people see the mess, and others see the miracle. Alan, if you'd stand, please. Just come on up here. Madam, I may as well embarrass you. Alan is a builder. If I had a bunch of lumber and I did this with him already, I wanted to build a porch and he was going to help me build a porch, and they come over and dump all that lumber out and I've got a pile of lumber. When I see it, I'm thinking, that's a mountain of lumber. What are we going to do with all that? But when a builder sees it, he puts it all in place. He's already seen the steps and he saw the spindles and he saw the... Do you understand what I'm saying? He was seeing something different than I was seeing, but it was the same thing we were looking at. Some of us see mountains and other of us see finished products. And I'll help you on this. You'll remember in the book of Zechariah, in the 6th chapter, when the Lord was speaking to Zerubbabel, the 4th chapter, when the Lord was speaking to Zerubbabel, He said, say to the mountain, say to the... Because to him was a mountain. He said, you look at the last piece to go in. Step in just a minute. You look at the cornerstone, the last piece to go in, and you shout grace unto it. Now, grace is not unmerited favor there, y'all. Grace is the ability of God. And you wanted to always remember that. So He said, the ability of God unto you. I'm helping you. It's like Alan saying to me, Pastor Mike, quit looking at it like a mountain and see your steps. See the porch here? and the porch there. See the steps? Get that in your mind. I want you, and when I saw that, all of that wood started moving from a mountain to a miracle, but it's because someone had a different perspective. Let's give Ellen a hand. So my wife, when she looks at the house, you know I was going to pick on you before long. So my wife, when she looks at that, can I preach over here? Well, my wife, when she looks at the house, she looks at it and just almost wants to shut down. Am I right? I'm just saying. It should have said, this is just, but then she backs up and says, I can do this. I'm going to take a room at a time. In that room, I'll take a closet. In that closet, I walk in with a box and fill a box up. So what did she do? She looked at the mountain and mentally, not spiritually and not physically, but mentally, she begins to break it down. When she did, the stress leaves. How many of you know you do have stress? Well, I'm very suspect of people that walk around always happy all the time and never have a problem and act like they're never flustered when they're in public, when I know how you are. You will be depressed from time to time. Some of you live with depression because of chemical imbalance. And so if someone tells you because of chemicals, you need to take some medicine, and then some prophet like myself might say to you, in the name of Jesus, don't ever take any of that medicine. That's of the devil. I'm going to help you right now. You're liable to get somebody on a suicide trip. Because you're dealing with them. If they had a broken arm and their arm is broken, they have a cast on it, you better know it's healed if you're going to go cut it off. Because you got a broken arm. Right? The old broken arm. Just saying. They got a broken arm. And nobody gets mad if they put a cast on it. Nobody gets mad if they set the arm. But if we get to dealing with the mind, and we get to say, well, they need something because, you know, their dopamine's out of whack or whatever, and then we feel like they need to get something, then we all, oh, well, they own drugs. I'm just telling you right now, I recognize America's over-medicated, but I do recognize there is a need for medication, and sometimes it's for our mind. So I hope I let somebody go free right there. That nobody looks at you like you're less a person any more than I would if you came in with your foot broken this morning. Had your eye operated on. We're not here saying, well, I can't believe that you had your eye operated on. She said, thank God I can see. Yeah. Rocky had his knee scoped out. He's limping around here and hobbling around and couldn't do anything. He gets his knee done. He's walking around here looking better than I've seen him in a long time. Well, I'm glad. Well, God could have healed him. I understand that. But God's healing them both right now. He doesn't quit healing because somebody else does something. You don't intimidate a God that is right by himself. So I'm just going to help you on this. You will have times, and there are biblical places where people in the Bible struggled with depression, and they did it generally after great victories. When you get done with something, the devil tells you, you're done, you're no good, you can't make it. I wondered why I was preaching on victory over depression until we got to singing the songs with some of you gave, the words you gave. And then this last week I was with Dwayne Thomas, baby boy. I was with Dwayne Thomas. That's what I called him because that's what you called him, Renard. He's your baby brother. I just said, he got mad, but I said it anyway. Dwayne Thomas called me the other night and said, Pastor Mike, I need you to help me out. We've got an issue up here at Lyman Ward. He's the coach at Lyman Ward. He said, we've got an issue up there. Could you help me? I said, babe, I'll do anything I can. So we went to Lyman Ward, and what it was, a 16-year-old boy had been there 3 weeks and hung himself. He tied a belt to the top bunk, put it around his neck, sat down. I'm not talking about jumping off and breaking your neck. I'm talking about someone under such depression that they sat down and just kept going down until they hung themselves. 16 years old. We went up there, talked to about 128 kids at school. We were able to sit at a table and minister to some of them. The only word I had, I'm trying to pray and get a word from God for them. The only thing I had was, don't ever get a permanent solution for a temporary problem. I told him, I said, this school is temporary, baby. You ain't gonna be here forever. And I'm gonna help y'all right now. Don't even think about suicide. When the enemy comes and says, just drive that car over into a tree, or the enemy comes and says, you go ahead and shoot yourself, or whatever it is gonna be, because the enemy will come. And when he does, you need to make up your mind that you're not doing any kind of permanent solutions to temporary problems. The Bible says this life is temporary. Say temporary. The Bible says everything you see is temporary. Say temporary. Yeah, you're not here forever. Neither is that stuff. It's all going to be gone, and so are you. It's temporary. Suicide's never our answer. But depression will make you think it is. Let's look at our verse, our key verse, and then we're going to deal with the Bible a little bit further. I want to deal with a few people. Y'all okay so far? What I want to do is just help you get past some of you, some depression. We're going to pray for people and anoint you with oil today before we get out of here and pray for that spirit of depression to be broken off of you. Because I do believe that depression can just be like a spirit to you. Matter of fact, biblically, the Bible says, I'll get here. I'm in Romans right now. I'm really close. But the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 16 that Saul, y'all remember Saul, the king Saul, that Samuel had anointed because the people wanted Saul, and so he anointed Saul, and then Saul lost the anointing because he didn't obey God. And here's what the Bible, listen closely to what the Bible says. The Bible says, and God withdrew his spirit. Now, three times in there it says, and a evil spirit of the Lord came upon him. Let me help you right now. God does not send evil spirits. When the Bible mentions something like, and an evil spirit from God came, let me show you what it's saying. It's saying God took away his anointing, which opens him up to the evil spirits that will come against him. It's not that God's packing evil spirits to judge you with. He judged Saul by removing his spirit. And when he removed his spirit, you can say the evil spirit came from God. What happened was it was permitted because God took his spirit away. So when you read that, you've got to get the context of God who says he tempts no man to sin. God is not in the devil putting business, he's in the devil casting business. The devil is his enemy, not his buddy. Y'all still tracking me? So God didn't send a spirit. The Bible says it that way, but you just need to read several translations and understand the context that when God takes away his spirit, you're going to be open, baby. That's all I'm saying. And here's what the Word of God says. It says that that spirit would come on Saul, and it was a suicidal, murderous spirit that wanted to kill other people. And some of y'all have seen that kind of stuff. And it was, the Bible calls it an evil or depressing spirit. So let's talk about depression. Well, let's read our scripture. So I'm just saying, this thing can happen. It comes on people. We're just going to believe God that we're going to get some answers for ourselves. Look in Romans 8, and let's just look at this very quickly. Verse 35 and 37, the Word of God says, who shall separate us from the love of God, love of Christ? Say nobody. Just say it. Nobody. Yeah, just say nothing and nobody. Nobody. Say it one more time. Say nobody, nobody. Or nothing. Listen, I want you to think about who that body is and say nobody.
Nobody.
Say nothing,
nothing
can separate me from the love of God. Say it again. Say nothing.
Nothing.
Nobody can separate me from the love of God. Look at me. Let me tell you something. Because some people don't get this. You need to receive the love of God. Now, some of y'all know he loves, but you don't receive it. I don't know. I'm going to tell you why. Because you're always beating yourself up and you're always quitting. I'd serve God, but I just can't do it. I can't live 3 days in a row for God. And I just know he doesn't like me. No, no. See, that's your problem right there. He wants you to keep a stabbing at it. He wants you every day. If you fall, he wants you to get up. If you fall, he wants you to get up. He loves you as much when you get up as he did when you were down. God loves you. People quit because they lose the perception of God loving them. And the church propagates that junk. Well, you better look out. God going to get you. God wants to get you, baby. He wants you. That's right. He wants to get you in a good way. He loves you. If you don't get the love of God, you're going to be in trouble. I'm going to just tell you this, Michael, as long as you need to know it. The Bible says, Sandra, that God saved you with his strong arm. I'm going to tell you right now, it really wasn't his strong arm. Now, that was the instrument, but it was his love. I need the power of God. No, you need the love of God. You get the love of God, you'll operate in the power of God. The power of God is motivated by the love of God. Jesus didn't go to the cross because he needed to die for you. He went to the cross because the Father loves you and demonstrated his love for you in that Christ went to the cross for you. It's a love issue. Say, I am loved. All right, where were we? In the Bible? Yes. Shall tribulation, say no. Or distress, our persecution, our famine, our nakedness, our peril, our sword. Verse 37, I love the New Living. It says, no, despite all these things, we are more than overcomers and conquerors through Him who loved us. The key is the love of God. Amen? Let me give you something on depression here real quick. I just want to give you the meaning or the understanding of the word of depression. It means a severe despondency and dejection, accompanied by feelings of hopelessness. How many's ever felt dejected? How many's ever felt despondent? Oh, you do it on Sundays. We all do. We come to church and we've had a bad week. We've had a bad day and had a fight on the way in. I mean, we drove up down each other's throat, and then we get up here in church, and Charlie's trying to get us to worship God, and we're over there looking at the other one, saying, how dare you raise your hand, you hypocrite. That's the way we roll. When there's a problem in the church, I'm gonna tell you something right now. I do not, if people like drama, I want y'all to leave this house. If you want a drama church, this ain't yours. Because we're not dealing with drama. I've gotten too old for drama, and God's tired of it. He's tired of everybody coming to church having drama and getting mad at people and sitting around watching them. And then if they lift their hands to sit back there and criticize them and then have the wherewithal to come to the pastor and say, I can't believe they lift their hands, those hypocrites. I'm thinking, dude, you're the hypocrite. Amen. We all go through despondency. We all have these issues. We got to make up our mind that the way out of it is going to be praise, accompanied by feelings of hopelessness and inadequacy. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but I've had some inadequacy feelings before. Just not good enough. Don't measure up. Anybody had those before? Yeah, the devil would love for you to get depressed. And then hopelessness, just not having any hope. What am I going to do? I've had people talk to me about their finances. Matter of fact, we're dealing with some folk, and Pastor Gabriel is in Birmingham, and the guy brought him a stack of bills like that. He owes over $5,000 just in doctor bills. He and his wife get about $600 a month or whatever it is, and they got these doctor bills running, you know, regular $200 a month, not including the other bills that they have, and just no way out. What do you do? We really don't have a good answer for that kind of stuff, but it looks hopeless, doesn't it? So I'm just telling you, that stuff works, and it works against us. Let me go a little bit further in this definition, if you don't mind. It is a condition of mental disturbance. Some of y'all thought you were mad and you were depressed. Huh? Mental disturbance. Sitting around mumbling, grumbling, complaining. Okay. Typically, listen to this. Typically, with a lack of energy and difficulty in maintaining concentration on interest of your life. Don't feel like it. Don't want to do it. Rather just go sit down and watch TV. Rather just go to bed. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I'm just saying, this is what it is. And here's what we do as a church. We just say, well, I don't have any kind of mental problems. I know. I'm just helping you right now. We all have issues with depression at some time. Let me just give you one verse real quick. Go to the 22nd chapter of Luke. Here's an interesting verse. How many of y'all read about the garden when Jesus is in the garden and he prays for the cup to pass? Y'all remember that? It's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. How many of you remember what happened when he went in the garden? He took the 12, right? Well, Judas had probably gone by then. So he takes the disciples. The Bible says all of the disciples go with him, and he gets a certain place, and he leaves a bunch of them, and he takes three more a little bit further with him. I wish I could moonwalk. I'd have done it right then. That he takes three more. See how stupid thoughts come in my mind? I'm just dumb. They have nothing to do. But if I don't say it, then I'll be thinking about it, and I won't be able to preach. Y'all better hope all my thoughts are good then. So He left some there, and he brings three more with him, and he leaves them. He said, y'all stay here and pray. I'm going a little bit further. How many of y'all remember the story? And he goes and prays, and the Bible says when he comes back, what are they doing? Sleeping. So he talks to them, and he goes to pray again, and he comes back again, and what are they doing? And then we write books on couldn't you wait 1 hour? Don't we? Those lazy, good-for-nothing disciples, you can't pray for an hour? What's up? Let me help y'all right now. I want you to see why they couldn't pray for an hour. You might want to read your Bible. If you look in the 45th verse of Luke chapter 22, now some of y'all got some good translations. If y'all got some, y'all can kind of shout it out to me because you'll have a different word here. Here's what my Bible says. When he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Anybody got another word for sorrow? Exhausted from sorrow. Anybody got another translation? Sleeping from grief. Anybody got another one? Are y'all listening to these words that are coming up? Do you know why they were sleeping? They were sleeping because they were grieving. And they were depressed. And that's what happens when people are depressed. How many of you know that I'm right on this? When you're depressed, you don't feel like doing anything. You're lethargic and you're just sitting around or laying around. And you just want to go to bed and turn off the lights and cover up your head and let the world go by you or whatever. I'm just saying that stuff was right here in your Bible. It's very clearly put in that the disciples were in grief. They were in, the word is agonia, which means depression or grief or sorrow in a great measure. And it took a physical attack on them. Back up. Let me help you. Their body, soul, and spirit. Their body, soul, and spirit. Their body was affected by their mind, which was grieving and shut their body down. New Testament. Old Testament, we'll be quick with this. I know I've... Y'all okay though, right? I mean, y'all good group. Y'all still with me? Matt, you still with me? All right. Make sure my boy is still with me. I'm going to be in trouble now when I go to the gym. I should have never picked on that boy. The reason I'm not preaching on this side very much over here, Michael, is because of Matt. Because every time I come over, he's looking at me like, I'll get you preaching. Look at this real quick. How many remember the story of Elijah? Let me give you a little bit. Yeah, say Elijah. Okay, it's spelled L-E-Yah. L, God, E, my, Yah, Jehovah. Now they read from right to left instead of left to right. So it is Jehovah, the God that's with me, is my God. Woo-wee. Man, what a name. Elijah. Jehovah is my God. Now, y'all do know the story of Elijah, right? I can just highlight a few of the points in here that you need to get. The thing about Elijah is we don't know a whole lot about him and his history. What we know is his name means God, that the God is with me is my God. The God that is with me is my God. Jehovah is my God. Elijah. The Bible says he came out of the wilderness. The Bible says he wore raiment that was coarse. The word for his raiment, the very word for it speaks of hair. The Bible mentions his outer garment. So when he dropped that cloak down and people see something like, you know, when he's dropping it down, going up in the fiery chariot and Elisha's on the ground and this kind of thing, fluffy thing falls down. It didn't. It came like boom. It was skin. It was hairy, heavy, and it was the same thing that John the Baptist walked in the same spirit. Are y'all still tracking me now? So if you just read your Bible, you're going to find out that's what got dropped down. So Elisha had to be a pretty good boy to catch that thing. Here's what happened to him. The Bible says that he showed up on the scene. He had the fire of God in him. And you remember Israel had turned to pagan gods. Ahab, the king, had married Jezebel. She turned him to pagan gods. The worst one being Baal. Ashtaroth was another one. Mammon was another one. But the one that they really gravitated to was Baal or Baal. I call him Baal because I'm from Alabama. But Baal was the one that they most worshiped. And the Bible says that there was a drought in the land. And he told Ahab, we can get it to raining. And what we'll do is this. You let your boys that serve the God of rain, because Baal was the God of rain. Let your boys that serve the God of rain, make them a sacrifice. And I'll make a sacrifice for me from God is with me, and we'll give a sacrifice. You remember the story. They got two bulls. Those old boys killed their bull. They got to go first. They're crying, praying, cutting themselves. And the Bible says that no one would pay them any attention. I think that's in the New Living Translation. Nobody would pay them any attention. So their God didn't come down. Then you remember Elijah said, give me my bull. He killed the bull. Well, first he put 12 stones, built an altar. He put the wood on the altar. He killed the animal. He put it on there. He got 4 tubs of water and they poured it on. He said, do it again. They poured it on. He said, do it again. They poured it on. They went all over the animal, filled up the trough all the way around it. And the Bible said he backed off. You read your Bible, and in the 19th chapter, when he is praying, 18th chapter, when he is praying, he prays a 62-word prayer. That's all. 62 words. It's interesting to me. He prayed 62 words and fire came down from heaven, burned the sacrifice, lapped up the water, ate the rocks, wood, and everything, and then he killed 450 prophets of Baal. I know some of y'all think that's an injustice, but I guess they needed killing, and God let him kill them. So they killed 450 prophets. Y'all do remember the story, right? He comes down. Ahab's all excited. Ahab says, this is a miracle. And then Elijah said this. He said, but it's about to rain. And I'm going to go pray. Y'all do remember that one, right? And the Bible said he went and knelt down and he got in the birthing position. The birthing position. Because he's about to birth something that they hadn't had for 3 years. And he gets down to pray. Now I want you to listen very closely right here. Better for you to be short in your open prayers and long in your private prayers. Because Jesus said, y'all like to pray so everybody can hear you. Oh, we ain't amen and now. Preachers are the worst. Pray over the food and it's got penicillin on it by the time they get done. You know, give me a God bless the food kind of thing. You know, let's move on and eat here. God's not busy. He doesn't have anything else to do at the time. He will bless the food in His Word. God bless the food. Let's eat. Amen? You don't have to pray for all the missionaries. Hey, all right. Here's the issue. When people pray like that, this is Mike Wright's idea. When people pray that kind of stuff in public, they probably have short prayers in private. Better for you to pray long in private and short in public. And that's what he learned to do. It only took 62 words for him to look up and say, God, you are the God who created the heavens and the earth. And I'm declaring right now that you're greater than Baal. And I pray now that you send fire down from heaven. And y'all know what I'm talking about? And destroy that 62 words, more or less, in my Bible. But then he goes to pray for the rain to come. And your Bible says in the 18th chapter that he went and knelt down, got down in a birthing position and told his servant. He said, he'd been praying. He said, go check and see if anything's coming from the sea. His servant ran over and looked over the sea. He said, ain't nothing coming. And he came back to him, nothing there. And he kept praying. He said, go look again. Right? He goes and looks again. Comes back to him. Ain't nothing there. Go again. He does that 7 times. Pray long in private. Short in public. He prayed long in private. And finally they saw that little hand of a cloud coming at him. He said, man, get ready, Ahab. You better get down this mountain because there's an abundance of rain coming. Ahab took off in his chariot. The Bible said the anointing of the Holy Ghost got up on Elijah and he outran the chariot. They went to Jezreel. That's a bad place to be because that's where Jezebel was abiding. Ahab goes in and says, my God, we've had a miracle. And she said, what happened? He said, that Elijah called down fire and then you have rain coming. Of course, he killed 450 of your prophets in the process. And she got angry according to the Word of God. Now listen to me. She made one threat. It's in your Bible. It's in the second verse. Or the second verse of chapter 19 of 1 Kings. And it said, she sent a messenger to him. And said to him, God judge me or God condemn me. If I don't do worse to you than you did to my prophets. Now, your Bible says, if you read that in the second verse there, it says, and the messenger came to him, but it didn't say he told him. It said he came to him, and he read it. I saw it. The messenger came. So, evidently, she wrote something down. It was written, because it says he saw it, not that he heard it. So, all I'm saying is, he got some bad mail. Anybody ever had any bad mail? Oh, yeah. It wasn't a check in the mail. It was that other thing coming in the mail. You know, things like subpoenas or like bills or whatever, and they're coming in the mail and you weren't expecting them or whatever the issue was, or, you know, income taxes and those kind of things. And it came in the mail and he saw it in the mail. Here's what the Bible says. Immediately he took off running. The stupid thing of the whole issue is, I probably shouldn't use the word stupid, but y'all adults, you track me. The stupid thing to me of the whole issue is that he could kill 450 threatening prophets and let one woman write him a letter, and he runs and hides. Now, I'm going to just be real quick on the rest of this. He was depressed. And you're going to say, no, huh? 1 Kings, yes, in 1 Kings 19. We're there in 19 now. You're in verses 1 through 8 now of 19. And he runs and he gets, the Bible says, under a juniper tree or a broom tree, maybe yours says. I don't know what your translation says. But he's under a tree. Let me give you a thought right here. When you run to get under a tree in that part of the world, you're expecting water. Aren't you? I mean, an oasis, there's a tree there. He goes and gets under a tree, he's expecting water. How many of you know he didn't have any water? I mean, it gets worse. They're after me. They're about to kill me. I run down here. I get to this juniper tree, and the Bible says he gets under that juniper tree. There's no water there. He's depressed. And here's what he says when he prays. How many of you remember his prayer? Listen to what he said. He says, Lord, just kill me. All right. Now, see, y'all going to say, yeah, that's him. That's him. I'm glad you said that. Because the fifth chapter of James, verse number 17, says you just like him. It says we have like passions. That's not spirit. That's not body. That's passions. That's the mentality. And we're just like him. And I'm just going to say right now, there are many of us that have gotten to a point, we say it's all over. I can't do anymore. And God comes. Here's what I love about God. He goes to sleep. The guy's depressed. He's wanting to die. He's under a tree. He goes to sleep. He's quit work. He's quit preaching. He tore up his ordination paper. He's no longer the apostle of Gateway Family Churches. He's just quit. The Bible says an angel appeared, and the angel put two things in front of him. One, he put food to eat, and the other was a jar of water. So he's going to have water and something to eat. And he woke up and he ate, and he went back to sleep. And then he woke up again, and the angel said, you better eat all this because you got a big journey ahead of you. Here's all I'm telling you. God is not going to leave you depressed and down and out. He's going to bring you something to supply for you. He'll wake you up, and he'll feed you until he gets you to the point that he can say your future is better than your past. You're going somewhere. Eat all of this and let's get up and go. God is not going to leave you down. He's not going to leave you depressed. And Romans 12:2 says that I need to get my mind off the world. It says don't be conformed to the world or the things of the world, but change or be transformed by the renewing of my mind. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 that my warfare is not carnal, but it's mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And any, listen to me, any thought that exalts itself against God. Stand with me if you would. James says we have the same spirit, same issues. Amen. James 5:17. We read it. Listen to me real close. We read it. And here's where we read from. We read from the context of answered prayer. Right? That he prayed a fervent prayer. Because he just got through saying, the fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Right? So we're talking about fervent prayer. And then the next thing it says, and you are of like passions, just like Elijah, because he prayed that way. The thing I saw was, if I'm of like passions, I need to pray passionately. But I need to understand that I also have the same place to be tempted with depression. There's no hope. What am I going to do? What can be done for my children? My kids are running from God. I've got issues in my life. I've got a sickness that can't be healed. I've got a child that's in rebellion. I'm just saying, I don't know what it is, but I know one thing. I don't want any more suicides that I have to go to. The worst funeral to preach is suicide. I don't judge. When I was young, I probably was a lot more... I was really stupid, But I thought I had all the answers, so I figured everybody else committed suicide. Until I began to look at them and read the Bible and see how many people faltered in depression. Elijah did it more than once. Daniel 7. Yep. Yeah. Daniel 7, 22 and 23 says, "And when my children were ready to take possession of the kingdom, the enemy arose and confronted them and tried to change," verse 25, "tried to change time and the law." Time and the law. Pastor, I hadn't been more attacked than I've ever been in my life than I am right now. Then I'm going to tell you something good's about to happen. I'm just saying, I believe God's got something good, because the Bible says when they were ready to possess the kingdom, the devil came. And look at this. This is what he said. Cindy, he said, "I'll change time or I'll change the law." The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. "I don't live on this time anyway. I live in Kairos. Kairos is an event time. This is Kronos. This is sun time. I don't live on sun time. I preach on sun time. I get up on sun time. But I live my life in Kairos time. That is an event with God." In other words, if the sun's going down and someone says you can't have an answer if the sun goes down, then I've got a God that can stop this clock. But the devil gets this clock, Pat, and shakes it in your face, tells you how much time there is. He's a liar. He's a liar. Here's your one. "I'd serve God, but it's too late." Huh? How many's heard that one? The devil. You got God on one shoulder, devil on the other, right? Like those little cartoons. God said, "Go ahead. I love you. Go ahead." And the devil shaking that watch. "Too much time. Too late for you." He is a liar. We're not going to let him change our time. The other thing he said he'd change is the word. "By his stripes I've been made healed." I don't care what he tells me. Yeah, but look at that. I don't care what you say. "All of my needs are supplied by his riches in glory." Don't tell me how bad it is. I've got a word from God that I can make it through a depression. I can make it through a recession. I can make it through an inflation. I've got a God that's got a word, and the devil's not taking that from me. Yeah, but you'd be saved if God loved you. Romans 5:8 says, "And while you were a sinner and an enemy of God, he demonstrated his love for you when he gave his son to die." Devil is a liar. Don't let him take your time, and don't let him twist your word. I want to pray this morning. I want to anoint with oil and pray. Good biblical principle for people that have been dealing with depression. I'm going to tell y'all right now, I own up. I mean, I just own it right away. My wife is my witness. She lives with this. But there are days when I say, "I don't know." I love y'all. And I love being here. And I believe it's God's will for this church. I really do. I believe God's got his hand on this house. And y'all just the seed in the house. We're the seed. I believe out of the seed's going to grow the tree. Now the tree comes fruit. Amen. Y'all still tracking it? But I will tell you this. The devil knows where 372 Leroy 23 is. Every once in a while he'll come over there and tell me how this ain't going to work. He is a liar. My wife knows this. It's been more than once I'll cry and say, I just got to have a breakthrough, whatever. And we made up our mind about a lot of things, even on the sale of our house. See, y'all just think we have all this, I've got it all together. I really don't. I mean, I'm piecing it together with y'all. kind of masking tape in our part of the country. It's duct tape. Just duct tape together. We're talking about where we live, a single wide trailer, and we're selling a house up in Trustville. And we both said, we said it, I don't know if we said this morning or not. Yeah, even this morning. We're not interested in doing anything. Get debt free and just do nothing until God says do something else. Pastor this church and love on y'all. Live in a single wide until God says something different. Alan, if he says build, we build a house. If he doesn't say build, we're not going to get in a hurry. We're going to love God. I refuse to let myself be pushed around and get depressed over something like what you're going to do next. Amen? Say victory now.
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.